Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Welcome to Horror Not Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
How are you this week, sir?
Worn out. I just literally clocked out. Somebody asked us to cook after we had already closed the kitchen, and we was kind of getting a little annoyed with that.
That's what happens when Mercury's in retrograde. Everything fucking terrible happens. Unexpectedly. That's how it has been here, man. Just like one thing after another. It's just like, oh, Jesus. But we're here, and we're here to talk horror like we always do, and especially for this month, for our Independence Horror Marathon. We got another indie film to discuss a little bit later on in the show. A little indie slasher to discuss. And, of course, the big one, and we'll be kicking off the show with that, is Midsommar, Ari Aster's latest film or sophomore sequel to Hereditary. And when we were discussing Hereditary, you know, we both said we're looking forward to his next film because, you know, Hereditary was just, you know, it was something. It was a really down and depressing, you know, movie. You don't see that often in theaters. And so I was like, all right, I'm interested in seeing what his next film is. And to see Midsommar, you know, I saw maybe one or two trailers. I kind of stayed away from, like, the newer trailers. I watched, like, the first, like, main trailer. I'm like, okay, that's good enough. And I was like, okay, I'm interested. You know, I want to see it, as I always do, of course, for the show. But this one is this one's a little bit different. It still has a few of the same tones, same beats as Hereditary, but this one's a little bit different. Instead of the down and dreary, depressing nature of like loss and everything like that in Hereditary, this one is about celebration and joyousness and happy and life, while also having some visceral moments. Midsommar, we have our main character. Her name is Dani, and she, the beginning of the film, the first half of the film, because this movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's a very long watch. I think Hereditary was 2 hours, so this is pushing it a little bit more. But that's not saying anything bad, because I'm going to be comparing this to another film that we both liked from last year, which we'll be talking, you know, which I'll bring up here, you know, later on. But Dani, the film opens up, and there's a tragic accident. Well, I wouldn't say accident, but something tragic happens to her family, and she has a boyfriend. His name's Christian, and Christian is basically, in a sense, kind of wanting to break up with Danny, but she doesn't know it yet. But Christian and his friends, and one of them is we have Josh and Mark and Pele. And Pele is the one from Sweden. But Mark is played by Will Poulter, and Josh is can't really say this without it's the black guy. Josh is the black guy. So they're all getting this trip planned for Sweden, and Christian wants to go, and you know they're all talking about like all the women they're gonna have sex with, and all the stuff that they're gonna do, get drunk, get high, and just everything that's gonna happen, and you know, this thing happens, and he was going to break up with Danny, and, you know, this tragic thing happens, and he has to console her and deal with that, and he can't break up with her, so she basically joins them in going to Sweden to Pele, with Pele to this, to his village, his commune, in the middle of nowhere for this, you know, summer solstice that's going to be taking place. That takes place, I think, every 90 years. And they pack up to get there, the land, and they start taking mushrooms and drugs and hallucinatory, you know, everything, you know, spiked tea. I think it was mushroom tea. And it just goes on from there. And then they finally, you know, the track, the backpack, to the middle of nowhere in the Swedish countryside, and that's where things begin to take a little bit of a turn, because it's outsider, you know, it's fish out of water. It's, you know, everything normal, average people that's, you know stuff, you know. It's like if we go to an Amish town or something like that, you know, we're at a, we don't exactly know the rules, but we know something. You know, we know, like, okay, this is different. We have to take that into consideration. And, you know, everything's fine at first, and they just, you know, things slowly, you know, what's this whole summer solstice? What's this celebration going on? Why, you know, people are, you know, they have, like, these certain movements and, like, handshakes and gestures and dances and all this, weird stuff going on. And then they start to get into the ceremony the following day, and that's when things kind of go berserk for all those who are outsiders to the village, because the people of the village bring people there for this solstice, and there's a reason for that. And so I'm not going to go into any more detail, because I don't want to give the film away. Overall, here's the thing. I liked the film. It's, you know, you don't see this that often, on the video. You know, I say that a lot. But honestly, it's so refreshing to see something like this every now and then. On the big screen. I mean, I even said that for Green Inferno, even though I didn't really care that much for Green Inferno. It's like, it's awesome to see a cannibal film on the, you know, big screen, even though the movie sucked a little bit. But this one, I will say this right up front. I liked Hereditary better. Hereditary was a far better, you know, a better film. Everything about that one clicked. This one, I mean, it takes a while. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it takes a while for, you know, to get to the village. But that's character development. And the thing is, there's things, you know, it's going to remind you of a bunch of other films. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, as the film was like, oh, I've seen this, I know this. There's really no suspense. I mean, what it does is, it does well in atmosphere and tone. It does a very disjointing tone throughout, where you're just like disjointed because of the way that the villagers act and some of the things that they do are very, you know, outlandish for, you know, an American in a sense. You know, you go to these far away places and, you know, you see people, you know, like if you go to Japan or China and they're eating a whole octopus, like, okay, that's different, you know. That's a little bit crazy out there, but, you know, it's nothing crazy, you know. It's their beliefs, it's what they're, you know, it's how they're, it's theirs, you know, it's their nature. And so this is their, you know, everything that they do is very, very different. And, you know, there's like, you know, like you're wondering, like, they have like these, there's a birthday celebration with two elders, and just like the way that they celebrate it, and like, oh, we have everything set into like how like a life cycle, like from like 1 to 20 something, it's you know, it's spring, and then you have like summer, and then fall, and then winter, and you get to 72 and stuff like that. This is one of those films that has like a lot of stuff that is not given to you through conversations. They kind of go there, but they don't really go into too much depth. It's basically on like murals and paintings and like stuff on the walls and all kinds of stuff that you just have to pay attention to, like markings on the, you know, trees and stuff like that. So there's like a lot of that you have to pay attention to, and like a lot of background stuff you got to pay attention to. And overall, like I said, it's a beautifully shot movie. It's very, very well done. You know, again, some of the things, like I said, just I was watching this and I was like going through there, like I've seen something like this before. And I was trying to figure out what it was, and then finally on the drive home, I'm like, oh, it was A Cure for Wellness, because of the way that one was set up with the one dude, you know, of course there's one guy this time, but the one guy going to this place in the middle of nowhere, all the people act weird. And then there's the, you know, the secret of the reasoning behind everything. And it's just kind of like, okay, there's a little bit of Cure for Wellness in there, a little bit of the Wicker Man, of course. And then I was just like going through there. And of course the big one, is Apostle. That me and you both enjoyed from last year. Like, and that one's 2 hours and 30 minutes, so this is, you know, 10 minutes shorter. But I was just like going through there, like, this reminds me so much of Apostle. It's just more vibrant, you know, instead of, you know, the way Apostle was. This one's more, you know, joyous and triumphant. And because it's like the same thing almost, where like they're at this village and like they have to, you know, do something to bring life or stuff to the, to this, you know, island, in Apostle, or to the seaside village, wherever, I forgot exactly where it was, but just to this community, and they have to do something to bring new life, right? And like the stock, not stocks, but the crops and everything like that. It's very much like that. It's like, I remember that. And then I was getting like Italian European vibes to certain parts. I was like thinking of like Mother of Tears by Argento, because of some of the things that happen in there. And then there's a certain scene in here with it's a sex scene. I'm not going to say too much, but I'm positive I saw that sex scene before, exactly that exact same way. Either there's a movie that has the exact same scene, or I had a fever dream one night and it just like stuck with me. And I'm like, I've seen that before. So I'm sure. I was like, I'm positive. Like, I've seen this. Either it was like, it could have been Lords of Salem. I don't exactly know if that had that one scene in there or not, but I just like, it reminded me of that, or like Mikel Solvay's The Church towards the ending of that. So I was like, I was getting all these things in my head, like, this just reminds me so much of this and that. Not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's just like a lot of borrowed stuff. And I don't know if, I'm sure he wanted to give, you know, some homage to like some of the films that he likes with this one, like he sort of did with Hereditary. But this one, it showed more. But again, I liked Hereditary more than this. Like I said, there is some visceral scenes. There's like, you can't, it's like there, it's like shock factor almost. It's like the piano scene in, well, the piano wire scene, or the wire scene in Hereditary, where it's just like, yeah, that's there and you can't look away at it. And, you have that in this with the birthday people on top of the cliff, and I'll just say that much. and it does not shy away from that. And the way they're acting and they're like their shocked nature of everything going on in there. And then as the film progresses and like more stuff kind of gets uncovered, you have Christian and Josh, and they're working on a thesis, and they're kind of bickering back and forth. And then you have the one girl of the village who wants Christian to fuck her in various ways. I'll just say that much. I gave away the sex scene already. Fuck. But anyway, I'm not giving too much away. It's just the build up to that sex scene. But it's kind of foreshadowed in the foretold in the trailer. But yeah, then you have Mark, who's kind of unsure. People are wanting. He's not really a troublemaker or anything, but he kind of gets into trouble unceremoniously. But nonetheless, there's a lot of pagan rituals and dances and just celebrations and all kinds of little things here and there, like that they're doing. And it's a fine movie, and it could be marked, toned down a little in length, because there's like parts of it that were like, that could have been toned down, that could have been cut out. There's really no need for that. Made it a little bit evener in tone, but it still kept one of those weird tones throughout. Like I said, disjointed is a good word, because you're just, it's a very just like sort of confusing to the average moviegoer. It could be confusing, and there probably could have, probably in some theaters, there's some like unintentional comedy in a certain few aspects. But nonetheless, I still liked it. The story was, it kept your interest for 2 hours and 20 minutes. You never got bored. You're just like wondering like, okay, what's next? Because you're like paying attention to like all the little background images, images and paintings and stuff like that. And they come into play. Like early on, you see a bear on fire and like, okay, where's that coming into play at? Because you're wondering like, okay, there's a bear. So where do you know there's a bear on fire? Like, okay. So you got to pay attention to that. And then there's a thing that involves a pie. I will not say no more after that. But that comes into play. So it's like all these things you got to pay attention to in the paintings and background. And it comes into play later on in the film. So like it's one of those films you got to pay attention to, the background.
Yeah.
And it's like the performances are good. I mean, like I said, it's a disjointed, discomforting, not really discomforting. But it can be, it's not confusing either, but it has that nature. It's just like, okay, what's going on? You're confused a little bit, to the average moviegoer anyway. To me, I felt, it was not a big showing either. And I saw it on a Friday, the very first showing. I think like 3 or 4 people was there. Overall, it's like I said, I like Hereditary better. I felt that one had a more I just like that one better. This one, I was like, it had great moments. I've seen parts of all that done before. And I was just like, okay, that's just beat for beat for this, and there's that. And, that's cool. That's interesting. I like that. And there's like, it has its moments. But it just doesn't have that, that flair that Hereditary had.
Right.
And like this one, like I said, this one's more, it takes place in daylight constantly. There's no night shots because of the solstice that's going on. So you get like maybe like a one dusk shot where the sun's like covered by clouds when it's night a little bit. But nothing like, it's always day. And it just goes and goes and goes. And then, I'm just saying it's decent. It's a fine watch. I mean, it's definitely one of those you have to give your time to, because it has 2 hours and 20 minutes. So you have to make sure you have the time to go see it in the theater and be prepared for, some pretty visceral moments. There's like teetering between, like Danny and Christian and their relationship, and they all have their fights, sort of bickering moments throughout the film. And then you have the crazy people, which I love crazy people. You know, like those crazy villagers or cult people. One of my favorite genres. And that was quota, quota filled. And then like some of the lore and background that you kind of want to know more about it. But it is one of those, like, after everything's said and done, you go back and you think about everything that happened. And like, yeah, it makes sense. You know, there's really nothing out of the ordinary what they're doing. It's just their beliefs. You know, it's how they do it. It's like, again, like the Amish, you know, how they have their beliefs and everything. Like, they don't use, electricity and cars and stuff like that. But, you know, they have what they do. And, you know, we live in a normal society and do stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, that's their beliefs. And the outsider coming in is going to be different. But yeah, I do recommend it because it is an interesting watch. It's not as down and dire as Hereditary. This one, like I said, it's more joyous, more happy. Just has a few violent things throughout, very visceral things throughout, and it can be a little bit uncomfortable in a few moments, you know, a few instances, and that's just because of the way that the villagers are and the way that they act and. You know, it's like a hive's mind in a sense. Like when one does something, they all do it. You can kind of see that in a few moments of the trailer. But yeah, I mean, it's not a bad movie. Like I said, it just reminded me of so many other films that I've seen before, especially Apostle recently. Like, it just, like, I liked Apostle better. And that one's 10 minutes longer, not saying anything about that. But I did like Apostle better. And, but this one's still fine. Is it the best of the year so far? That I'm unsure about. But so far, I mean, compared to, I don't even remember what other films I gave high regards to this past year so far, because everything else just kind of fell flat. But I guess at the moment, yes. I just have to think about it unless something else pops out of my head. But yeah, like, I'm going back to the other ones I've seen, like Child's Play and Pet Sematary and Annabelle. And like, so far, yeah, Hereditary definitely is a step above those. Not Hereditary, Midsommar. See, I keep thinking about Hereditary. But Midsommar is high above those. And then like a few other ones, I guess, yeah. But yeah, it's worth checking out. Ian, I know I talked about it a little bit longer than usual, but what's your thoughts?
This is one of those movies that I am, like, I was going to go Tuesday to go see it. I actually, like, got dressed up, you know, I was going to go by myself, and just some stuff came up, and I was, like, kind of bummed out, and I ended up not being able to go see it, and I'm really disappointed, because this is, like, one of those kind of movies that I absolutely love. You know, I like movies like Hereditary, Mother, stuff like that, just because it's, you know, trippy, you know, it kind of, you know, I just love it, and I mean, but it sounds like it's going to be one of those movies that, you know, I absolutely like, and I probably, you know, I'm probably going to go see it as soon as I can. Hope maybe I might try to go and see it Tuesday when movies are $5, and go see a early showing, but honestly, it really does sound like it's right up my alley. I'm glad, you know, it didn't suck. That was one of the things I was kind of worried about, because you never know with these kind of movies if they're going to be, like, good or bad. Like, so. But, you know, all in all, it matches up to what I was expecting to be. You know, like, not the best movie of the year, but, like, not, like, terrible either. Do you personally think there's any rewatch value to it?
I mean, yeah, I do, because you can pay attention to, like, more of the background and, like, some of the – because I'm sure I missed, like, one or two instances that I've read about. Like, there's a certain scene with the mark and the tree, and, like, later on there's, like, a guy that, you know, of course, is pissed off. And, like, in the scenes you can see, like, him staring down Mark, and I didn't notice that. You know, so, like, you can go back and look at, like, some of the way that the people act, in, you know, scene by scene. Like all the images and stuff, like, I saw the paintings, like, you can see that pretty easy, It's pretty obvious where it's going the first time through. You pay attention to it. Like, with some of, like, the facial, you know, stuff and all that, like, probably you missed a lot the first time through. So there's some rewatchability to it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. But, yeah, that's, you know, I can't wait to go see this. It's definitely one of those movies I want to see while it's still in theater. I think,
yeah,
you
have to see this in theater. This is one of those where you don't get it that often. I mean,
yeah, see,
it's like when Hereditary came out. Like, yeah, we don't. You got to see it while you can. I mean, you
exactly.
can get like 15 Annabelles. You won't get a, you know, an It Follows in the theater or a fucking, you know. Well, of course, It Follows
is
pretty
that
big
is
though.
A,
but
yeah, I didn't
you just
got
to get those.
You know, I never got to see It Follows in the theater, and that was one of those movies I was like, man, really wish I would have done that. But I was too
nervous.
Yeah,
this is like sort of similar to The Witch, too. It's very similar to The Witch with the way that the tone is. But, you know, in a sense, I mean, just the way, like, some of the stuff happens, you know, especially, like, with the kid, the son in The Witch, and, like, some of the dialogue in that. Like, it's just, like, there's a little bit of, like, just, like, little things here and there sprinkled in. So it's a little hodgepodge of everything. So there's just, like, you know, I can go through the film like a fine-tooth comb and just go, like, okay, here's from this, here's from that. And, I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know, like, on its own merits, it's still fine. I mean, not saying anything bad. It's still a fine movie. It's just, like, there's a lot of things where it's, like, again, I named so many other films where, like, and it's just, like, yeah, it's just, like, there's so many other things in there that I've seen before. So it's nothing, you know, it's nothing new, but it's still, it's its own thing. It manages to do its own thing with a few, you know, homages here and there. And, you know, it's not like the new Child's Play or anything like that where it's, like, it just takes it and, you know, does its own thing. It could have been called something else besides Child's Play. This one at least tries to be something else, not call itself The Wicker Man or anything like that. You know, it's its own thing. You know, it has homages, but it's its own thing.
And that's what we were talking about earlier.
It's, yeah.
You know, with the whole Child's Play, you know, we were saying, you know, how we were saying, like, you know, it's fine if you want to, like, wash, rinse, and repeat something that's, you know, already out, but at least try to be original with it. And, you know, instead of pushing out all these remakes and trying to be something that, you know, by, like, you know, completely changing up the whole thing and just going by the whole, you know, name. Like, honestly, they probably could have just said Wicker Man and, you know, changed it up a little bit, and it could have been that. But, you know, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah,
I'm glad that he's trying to do his own original thing, even though, you know, it's still, like, you'll see a lot of, you know, similarities to a lot of other movies if you watch a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think that's the bane of a movie fan's life, is that if you, like, I mean, I bet if we would have, you know, gone into some of these movies without, like, ever watching anything that resembles that, you're going to think it's the most amazing thing on planet Earth. But,
yeah.
You know, and that's why,
you know, I mean, like,
I don't care.
We're going by the, you know, and for the average moviegoer, I mean, this is going to be decisive, you know, like Hereditary was. But this one, I think, is going to be more decisive because of, like, people that know about, again, we keep, you know, because there's people like us, you know, me, you know, the hardcore, the hardened horror fans, and then, like, the average, you know, like, oh, I want to be able to go see 15 jump scares in 5 minutes and Annabelle comes home and think it's the grandest thing ever, and so, while someone like me is bored to death with it.
Right.
And I'm saying that's, you know, but, and then here they think this is, like, the most boringest thing ever, and here I'm enjoying it, you know, so it's yin and yang. It, you know, we work off each other.
Yeah, and, you know, we can go back to Mother, too, like, how, you know, I knew that movie wasn't going to succeed. Like, I already knew that. When I saw the trailer, when I, like, started watching, I was like, this movie won't succeed. But, and that's because, you know, it takes a certain type of person to watch that kind of movie. And, you know, I mean, That's why, but you know, I'm glad that they're trying. I'm glad we're getting stuff like Hereditary and Midsommar, because it's just like, you know, not the same cookie cutter cash grab stuff. These are like risks. These movies are like taking a risk just because they're like a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I can't wait to see what he, you know, like, I'm so excited to see like what he's going to put out next. What Jordan Peele's going to put out next, you know, if because Jordan Peele, you know, he told him, the directors of Midsommar, that he made a fucked up movie, and I'm hoping that Jordan Peele, like, you know, tries to one up him, and
yeah.
You know, it's like, but you know, I'm just glad that we got what we're getting, because I'll never forget that 1 year we got jack shit.
Yeah, 2013, the first, I think, 2014 or 2013. It was a terrible year. But going on, while we still have time, we got to get this in.
Oh, yeah.
Our indie spotlight, our Independence Horror Marathon film, Chicken's Blood, directed by, I think it was Corey. Oh, God, please tell me I haven't forgotten. Corey Jordan. All right, good. Corey Jordan. And so Chicken's Blood is about two couples. They're in the car. They're going to this wrestling event. The main guy, Pete, is this wrestler, and he's the cock, I believe is the cock, but he dresses up as a chicken. But they're taking the back roads, and they stop at this small town. You know, their car breaks down, and so they go to this town to get help. And so we have Pete, Lisa, John, and Allison. And so they go there, and things start to happen. But also, before we get to that, we have Happy, and he has escaped the mental institution, or the institution that he's been committed to, and he escaped, and he's coming back to the town that our group of friends are stopped at. And who is Happy? Well, he was part of this, I guess, drug traffickers or drug peddlers or something like that. And he did something terrible, and they got to put an end to that. And, you know, and our friends, our group of friends, just so happens to cross paths with those drug peddlers. Okay, so here's the thing. The movie, it was okay. But it wasn't the best thing I watched. There's a lot of things that just did not feel like it was done right. Mainly just some of the script, and some of the instances of where things eventually played out at. Like, they just go to this town, and, you know, they get kidnapped, and there's no reasoning technically behind it. You know, they're just, they go into the antique shop, and we have a cameo by Donald Farmer. And, you know, he plays like the Crazy Ralph character. They make a reference to it. And they get kidnapped, and two of them run away. And so we have, you know, I think John, Pete and Lisa get kidnapped by the drug guys and taken back to the house. And then the other two, John and Allison, are trying to find them. And it just, you know, like, some of the dialogue is just like, I felt like, I think we both agreed on this, that it just felt like it was, you know, you have a general idea, just go out, you know, shoot and, you know, say stuff in that general, you know, you have your plot points or your pinpoints, just go around that and just hit the beats. And then just like a lot of things that just did not really add, you know, like, make sense. Like, like, okay, I know Happy did something wrong, right? You know, he's wearing his hood, he's got his doll and his balloon, and he's going around getting revenge on those that did him wrong, but also he did something wrong beforehand, so it's technically like, why is he getting revenge? And then, like, why is he after they make points to it, like, oh, you're in his way now, like, but they didn't do anything, you know, they're just there. But it's just like a lot of stuff just did not add up. Like, again, like, they go to the antique shop, and then, like, they walk out, and, like, oh, yeah, we're going to take you back. Why are you doing here? Why are you in this town? Like, well, of course, you know, just, and then they take him back to the house, and then, like, the main guy who's in charge, even he's questioning, like, why are they there in his house? And it's just, like, it made a point where, like, what's the point? You know, it just did not make sense. And then, you know, it's just Happy going around attacking people. There's a few okay shots, which you can obviously tell was really done on a low budget because it is a watermelon in a few parts. Not saying anything bad about that. I mean, when Joe Sherlock was on here, they used like big giant watermelon for some of their shots and stuff. And they used like banana pudding or vanilla pudding for gore. So it's nothing out of the ordinary there for low budget. But yeah, just a lot of things just like left me more like confused than normal because I'm trying to figure out the whole gist of the thing, and then it's just like, okay, and just like, I don't know, Ian, am I thinking this wrong, or where am I on this? You know, what's your thoughts?
I'm just as confused as you are about the movie. I liked it for what it was. I didn't think it was I didn't think it was bad.
No.
I just thought it needed a lot of tweaking to make it better. And some of the jokes, I felt like they were trying too hard to be edgy and kind of funny when the jokes just, to me, fell flat. You know, I like, you know, fucked up sense of humors. You know, that's I like that kind of stuff. And even I kind of sometimes was kind of like just like a, you know, was that even really necessary? And I mean, there's some scenes that I thought was like hilarious, you know, and I was like, oh, that, I give them props. I haven't seen that before, the certain scene. But, you know, it did feel kind of messy, and I mean, that's to be understandable for a low-budget horror movie. And I get it, you know, you might not have an idea, and you don't have the time or the money to hire writers, so you kind of just wing it. I get that. I understand. But, you know, I mean, everything's forgivable that I felt like it was. All my problems that I had with it was, you know, I felt pretty forgivable. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, now if this was put out by, like, Universal Studios or something like that, you know, I would be tearing them a whole new asshole just because of the fact that, you know, they can hire, you know, professional writers and storyboards and all that where they can piece together a coherent movie. But, you know, I mean, most people don't have access to that. So I understand. And like I said, you know, I thought it was good for what it was. And there was just some parts, though, I felt was kind of unnecessary, and some parts that just needed a little bit more explanation.
Yeah, there is a lot of that, in my opinion, where they needed to go on a little bit more and take some stuff out. And it's just like, again, like the whole idea of like, okay, the whole reasoning that the head drug guys, you know, because they're in the small town, did that to Happy and then came across something else. And so that leads into that. But then you go to this thing and it's just like, okay. And then, you know, they add the whole other subplot that I believe that Happy has a wife and child, so he's trying to do good, but he's also just, you know, still killing people. I'm assuming that was correct, because, you know, he's like, oh, you know, the little girl, like, oh, daddy's here, or something like that. And but then at the very end, you know, there's like a lot of mid-credit scenes. There's 4 mid-credit scenes. And there's like a lot of stuff too that happens, like some of the characters, like, oh, it's just, you know, like, oh, okay, that's done, you know. Like our main character, like, oh, well, that's cool. I mean, there is some cool, gore shots towards the end. I mean, the last 20 minutes has like 3 good ones back to back, one including a chainsaw, that was cool. But again, I've seen another movie called Psycho Holocaust that has a pretty good scene with a hacksaw used in that same position. But again, it's cool to see a chainsaw instead done that good. But yeah, it has some problems. I mean, again, it's indie. It's going to have some issues. But it's just like, I mean, I would have, you know, those issues just, I mean, everything else, I mean, it was average. It was okay. I mean, it's just your typical, you know, low-budget indie slasher. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. And just, like, some story issues, you know, just some plot was, like, the only minor issue that I had with the film. And with those could have been covered or more, you know, elaborated on, I felt this one, you know, it would have been a little bit better and not something I was watching like, okay, that doesn't make sense, you know, with, like, everything. There's like a lot of stuff they just like floss over, and it's just like, they didn't need to do that. I was hoping for some explanation, like once they did bring the Pete and Lisa to the house, and when he the head guy in charge, like, why are they at my house? I like maybe they would elaborate a little bit, like, oh, they want to just put them in the room, you know. It's like, oh, okay, that could have been helpful. Ian, any other thoughts?
Well, we got a few minutes, I guess. But, you know, like I said, it's just, I just think it needed to be, you know, tweaked. And it had a good idea going, and, you know, I understand it was a horror comedy, or at least that's what I was hoping that, you know, that's what I took my takeaway from it was. It was supposed to be a horror comedy. But I thought it was okay for what it was. It tried to be something. It kind of missed its mark, but like I said, you know, you can't really hold them for it because of the fact that, you know, they don't have a professional team of writers, so you can't really, you know, be too hard on them for what they did, because, you know, I haven't made a movie, and I know it's from, you know, all the interviews and everything we've had, it's a hard shit to do, especially when you have, you know, shoestring budget, and you're just going along with a bunch of friends or family and random people that you just happen to come across. So, you know,
yeah,
I hope, you know, they keep making movies, and, you know, just if I hope, you know, if they're listening, you know, if the director's listening, I hope, you know, you don't take offense to anything we say. We pride ourselves on our honesty. And, you know, so.
Yeah, just go, you know, take all the criticism and use it on your next film. I mean, like I said, you had ideas, I mean, and you used them, and you wanted to, I think, shoot those, you know, you had a general idea of what you wanted to do. But there's just like a lot of convolution in there with like the drug traffickers and, or, you know, the druggy, I don't exactly know what they were, the gang of people that sold drugs apparently in the small town. Maybe a little bit more details on that. Just like, we know they're druggies, and they snort coke and cocaine and all that stuff, and but nothing really, you know, they were bad, you know, the police was in on them and everything like that. There's just like,
yeah,
there's like some parts that just like
things were funny.
Yeah. They're just like, it was there, but it's just like, you know, it's just like Ian said, you missed the mark a little bit. But again, I want to thank Corey Jordan for providing us with a screener of the film. And, you know, if you want to check it out, all the details are in the description of this podcast link. So Ian, I guess that is going to do it for this week. Next week is Crawl.
All right, we got
and another indie film. So that's going to do it. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.